And he was one of those players where, unless he was on your team, you probably hated him. He was kind of just a sly guy and kind of gets under your skin, and opposing fan bases did not like him one bit. And I think because of that, we loved him even more. So he was probably one of those players that stuck out for me.
Okay.
Yeah, you need one of those guys that when they just mention their name, your blood pressure goes up about 25 points.
Ryan, we were talking about 20 minutes ago here on the show. It's very interesting to watch these basketball teams over in Laramie, the Cowboys, and even the Cowgirls. They're following very similar paths. They're almost identical in the way these games are going down. And, you know, had Jordan Kelly not gotten hurt for the Cowgirls, you'd almost have like a carbon copy of what's going down in Laramie with these two teams. It's not eerie. It's very interesting to see how similar paths these two teams are taking.
It's eerie.
It's very eerie. Similar.
Yeah, you know, it really is. They're so young. And so the good thing about it is they're, you know, with the exception of losing Markell Bent and then Josh Adams, which are obviously two incredible players, it's going to be hard to replace, if not irreplaceable. But then you have so many players that are getting so much experience that should be beneficial going forward, and is a reason to believe that there are, you know, good things ahead. But it's, you know, frustrating nonetheless because they're teams that both play hard, you can't fault their effort, but aren't able to pull out some of these tight games. You know, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And the ones that don't kind of stick with you because you think of, you know, if it was one or two different plays went differently, they would have won that. But then you have to think the same way in some of the wins. Well, you know, at New Mexico, for instance, if Josh Adams doesn't, you know, maybe misses one of his shots as opposed to scoring 38 points, then things might go differently. So I think you kind of have to take the good with the bad and appreciate that at least the effort level is there, and there haven't really been off-the-court issues or anything like that, which – many programs do struggle with. So that's kind of my take on it. But it is tough as a fan when you're losing in both on the men's and women's side in kind of similar fashions.
And that's what I was going to ask you. You know, for fans, I think a lot of fans, I'm sure there's a vocal minority that always seems to sound like the majority, but they're out there that look at wins and losses only. But the knowledgeable fans will know that, hey, this is kind of the scenario that's going on out there. But when does being young, at least I'm asking you because now they played 22 games and these guys have all played in these games, when does that stop? And I'm not saying either one of these coaches are using that as an excuse. I don't think that's what's going on. But when does that stop being a factor and you just have to go out and go out and make those plays?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much the youth is necessarily a factor. I think some of it is almost more the inexperience, where even some of these guys, like, you know, Al Herndon made some starts last year, but it wasn't like he was getting the same type of minutes he was this year. Even Jason Kamaneman, I think his career high was 10 points or something like that going into the season, and now he's there like every game. So even a guy like him, who was an integral, you know, player last year when they made their title run, it's like, well, now he's playing sometimes close to 40 minutes a game at times. And so, you know, everyone's just got different roles. So I think it's 22 games, yeah, you're maybe adjusted in those into those roles, but I think it's still, you know, maybe you're adjusted. You've played in that in certain games, but you maybe haven't played in similar scenarios. And every close game isn't the same scenario. Sometimes you're coming from behind. Other times maybe you have the lead and you're trying to hold on to it. So it's hard to put a number of how many games until you can finally say, okay, youth and inexperience isn't a factor. But I think the reality is, to some degree, it is. And maybe all the better for it as far as, you know, from a learning experience, because going forward, you know, hopefully you would think they learn from those experiences. But, 22 games is probably getting close up there. I don't know which number, what number you would really be able to put on it, though.
You know, I think I agree with you. It's not so much the youth, and we had the guy from the Mountain West yesterday on our Mountain West report, and that does color. What's his name?
Joe Cravens from Root Sports.
Yeah, Joe Cravens from Root Sports. And he said, it's not just the youth, it's the experience. It's the number of games. And yet, yeah, a lot of these guys got 22 games, but that's what they've gotten. Last weekend, you're playing against a team in Boise that's got 4 fifth-year seniors. Those guys got like 80 or 90 games under their belt that they've played. Against Fresno, you look at Guerrero and some of those guys, they're also up there in that 80 games or whatever. And so, in my opinion, it's not just youth, you know, things having to adjust from playing high school or junior college ball, whatever it is, to being in the Division I, but it's the simple fact you don't have that those games experienced up in the 70 and 80 game experience situation where you're going against guys that are 2 or 3 years older and maybe have 60 more games under their belt than you've got. So you're naturally going to be at a disadvantage on that. I don't care how good you are.
Right. And I think it was even the same way during football season where, you know, they're 9, 10 games in and people say, oh, they're not freshmen anymore. And it's like, well, you think about, for instance, the defensive secondary. You have, like, a guy like Robert Priester, who's only a sophomore, and he is, like, the elder statesman of that group. And on any other, you know, on most other rosters, especially veterans, or especially, you know, some of these top teams that are powerhouses perennially, a sophomore is, like, that's like they're a really young guy who's really inexperienced. So it's like, even if you got some of this this time, that they're still, at the same time, they're still 18, 19-year-old kids, a lot of these guys. And I think it's even similar for basketball. It's like, yeah, even if you've played 22 games, it's like a lot of these players haven't really, you know, got maybe 22 games, but it might not be more than a couple minutes in those games, especially last year. And Justin James, it's like how many of those 22 games has he played extended minutes? Some of these games he's only played like 6, 7 minutes, even less. Sometimes he's played in the 20s, so it's like, well, go back and look how many times has he played a really integral role in those games for an extended period of time, and then you narrow it down, it's like, oh, well, he's actually only got like 6 of those games. So he doesn't have 22 games of experience as far as, you know, playing a key role like that. So, but I don't know. It's tough to really put a price on that experience because each game is different and each, you know, number of minutes you're logging is going to be different too.
Are you ready for National Signing Day next Wednesday, Ryan? It's always, it'll be, what, that'll be your first National Signing Day here. And it's a big day for college football programs all across the country. So you fired up and ready to see what we pretty much know what the class is. What, there's 4 spots left open that they've got scholarships for?
Yeah, you know, I would say I guess I'm ready. I'd be a little more ready if we had a home game and I wasn't driving back from in the middle of the night to get back in time for that. But yeah, I think I'm ready. I think the coaches are ready. I know there's a push, and I think eventually it probably will go to an early signing period in December. That was talked about in the fall, and then they ended up not approving it. But I think going forward, whether it be next year or maybe even starting in 2017, I think eventually they probably will have an early signing day. But, for this year, I think it's going to be great for Wyoming. I know their coaches are maybe getting a little antsy, want to make sure some of these guys, especially some of the guys like Chandler Garrett or Jace Webb, who have a little bit have those larger star ratings and have a little bit more interest. They don't want them to get picked off by a bigger team that comes in swoops and late. So if they get them onto a letter of intent, get their name down to paper on ink, it is that means they're basically locked in. So that's I think that's the big deal with next Wednesday already.
Yeah, next Wednesday. Yep, very good. Ryan, we appreciate it. We'll see you Saturday for the CSU game. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, take care.
All right, take it easy.